Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Warning,
the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We are so glad that you all tuned in tonight. We've got a fantastic show planned for you this evening. In fact, we're doing part two of last week's show. So stand by. We're just getting a few housekeeping things done. And we're going to go live right about now. Momentarily, I'm going to bring in my co-host, the wonderful Ms. Camila Cross. She's going to be joining us tonight all the way from South Florida. I normally say sunny South Florida, but it's quite wet here this evening. Been having some rather inclement weather pretty much all day in just north of Miami. All right, so we've got, as I said, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. We're doing part two. Last week's show was exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship. And so we're doing, the show was so popular last week that they asked if we could just go ahead and continue that for this week. And that's what we want to be able to do this evening. So we've got some upcoming shows that I am certain that you're going to be excited about. Let me go ahead right now and bring in my co-host, Ms. Camila Cross, all the way from South Florida, where it's quite rainy. Ms. Cross, welcome to the show, and good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Walker.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Why don't you go ahead and give your commercial and let our listening audience know about you, what it is that you do, how you do it, and how they can get in touch with you for your services.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone out there. My name is Camila Cross. I am an anger management specialist. I'm right now, you can actually check out my website. I'm at www.yourworthispriceless.com, where you can actually tap in, and I'm actually offering a 20-minute session just to kind of evaluate to see where you are with your abilities to manage anger. A little background about myself. I have a master's in social work, which I have been working in different fields of social work. I think my strongest point is in the therapeutic part of social work. But I would look forward to, you know, now I'm doing this guest host position with Dr. Walker, which has been such a phenomenal experience. So I thank you guys for having me, and I look forward to a wonderful night tonight.
All right, excellent. And Ms. Cross, just so you know, we'll be celebrating this entire month because this month marks the Dr. Jesse Walker Show 10-year anniversary. So this month makes 10 years that we've been on the air. And let me tell you, I know for a fact that time does pass fast when you're having fun. And I can tell you honestly that I have been enjoying these 10 years, and it's been nothing but a lot of fun. And I'm so excited to have you as part of this 10-year anniversary that I'm celebrating. So thank you for being here with me.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. It really is. It has been such an amazing journey so far, and I hope to be with you going forward, and that's for us to have another 10 more years, right? For us to
there you go. Away. I love it. I love it. 10 years plus. You know, so we're going to get right to tonight's topic, exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship, and this is part two. We're going to do the story in about a minute and a half away from now, so I just want to give our listening audience an opportunity. If you feel that you want to speak to the issue of the story of tonight's topic, you have a comment, by all means, press 1 on your dial early enough so that you can get in. And we're receiving kudos from different people out there to help us celebrate our 10-year anniversary on the air. We thank you all so much for that as well. And again, we're hoping to go another 10 years plus as I look forward to that. Let me just say, ask you, Ms. Cross, give me an idea of how you perceive an unhealthy relationship, and I will certainly give you one that comes to my mind, and then we'll go right into tonight's story.
Well, unhealthy relationships have, you know, I think sometimes people often miss the mark because they kind of want to classify it as someone being so into you. But actually, some of the signs of you being in an unhealthy relationship is someone trying to kind of gain control over you. So when you go into a relationship and in the beginning it's so intense, like this person is so into you, you've been with this person for a month or two, those can be red flags. Because the thing is that when someone kind of already creates their world around you, you know, I always look at it like, wonder if I take myself on the equation, how are you going to react to that? A lot of times just someone being having these jealousy issues, and some women may say, oh, he's so into me, he's so jealous when someone else talks to me. But you have to realize that those are red flags, and not just men, women as well. Another thing is kind of manipulation. When they come in and they say, well, you know, I want to see you tonight. And you're like, well, I can't, you know, I have to get up early in the morning for work. And they're like, well, you know what, maybe you don't like me as much as you say you do. You know, that's an example of manipulation. So sometimes I think people tend to kind of miss the mark, and I'll say we, because I'm sure we've all experienced some of these markers, but we may have taken it as this person being so much into us, you know. Even isolation, and I know on the last show we talked about when you're with someone and they kind of just want to share all their time with you. I'm not saying these are always negative things, but they can be red flags, because a form of an unhealthy relationship is kind of isolating you from your family and friends. So the things that you enjoy doing, where it pretty much becomes all about them. Even little things, like I know the last show we talked about being in a relationship and kind of comparing you to the ex. That's not something that is supposed to be acceptable. And so it's kind of a form of belittling you to an extent. You know, even making you feel guilty about, you know, not wanting to do something or not doing
right.
Or not accepting something.
Right.
You know, those are all red flags to kind of beware right. of, just to kind of look at a few.
Okay, excellent thoughts to keep in mind. They seem to be points that you bring out. I don't really need to go over anything because you pretty much covered some of the thoughts that I was going to mention about an unhealthy relationship. And one of the key focuses is if you actually get around someone and you actually see how they interact with family, friends, particularly when there's a competitor, this is one that I really believe in. Get around people when it's a competitive moment to see how they compete. And oftentimes competition brings out the real person in a lot of instances. If they're you begin to look at their passion of what it is that they're competing for. Let's say a woman is dating a guy in his early 20s, and he happens to like sports, let's just say basketball, and he plays it. And so you might want to go to a basketball game with him, a few of them, and see how it is when he gets fouled, when things are not going the way that he feels that they should go, and any type of competition. If it's a card game that someone's playing, you want to see how they react, respond to things when they don't go that person's way. And that will tell you a lot about how they will handle situations when they're angry. Ms. Cross, just briefly touch on that before I go to the story. What are your thoughts on that competition mode?
Yeah, definitely agree, because it might be somewhat of a sign of someone who can't take rejection or who can't take loss. And we all know that rejection and loss can be a part of life. So if this person doesn't have the ability to accept or to cope with loss, that can definitely be a red flag as well. You know, I want to add to that, people who sometimes they have a tendency of blaming other people. So they'll say, well, you know, if you're like in a group setting and they're like, oh, we only lost because Tom did this and Lisa did this. And not to say that these things are a guarantee that this person, you know, will be a, you know, will result in a negative relationship, but they're just red flags, which means these are things to pay attention to and just to kind of analyze a bit more.
All right. We're going to actually stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Let's go to phone lines before I go to the story just quickly here. Bring in a call at 954-826. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live. Who do we have with us?
Hey, Dr. Walker. It's James.
Okay, James, thank you for joining us this evening. James, can you give us an idea, just before we go to tonight's story, can you give us an example of an unhealthy relationship? Because tonight we're talking about exit strategies, how to get out of one, you know, an unhealthy relationship, and this is part two. Just give us an example briefly, please.
To me, the one I was in was the other person could not say they were sorry, no matter what they did, no matter what the argument was. Even though I apologized for my part, they just couldn't say that they were sorry.
Wow.
Just not being able to take like responsibility for their part in the situation or the argument or, you know, anything. It was always, well, I did this because you did that. And if you didn't, and if you hadn't have done that, then I wouldn't have done that. So it's all your fault.
Wow. Wow. That is some serious stuff. That's some serious stuff. James, we're so happy that you shared that with us. We're going to ask you to stand by along with the other callers to stand by as we go into tonight's story. Our characters for tonight's story are Henry and India. And this is a repeat from last week's story. And, of course, all the stories are inspired by true stories. And, of course, the names have always been changed to protect the innocent. During their dating stages, Henry and India promised to show each other an entirely different world, a relationship world that would have only that fantastic view. They vowed to be faithful, loving, kind, loyal, and all that good stuff that is usually associated with the start of a brand-new relationship. Now, Henry has three children from a previous marriage and other relationships. India has no children at all. Could this be a relationship based on a dream or utopia world? Well, others, including their family and friends, thought they were the perfect couple. Well, that is, until they actually got married. Unfortunately, 3 months into the marriage, things began to go in a totally different direction, a direction that India once assured herself that she would never travel down that road again, a road that once scared her in her previous marriage of 8 years to a man who was both physically and mentally abusive. She thought at the time that she may have gotten married at a very tender age, by the age of only 21. By the age of 29, her world had changed in a depressive state. Now, India met Henry 2 years later through a mutual friend who thought they would make the perfect couple. Well, that perfection seemed to last for 6 months into the proposal and engagement, which made things even more exciting, especially for India, knowing that she was about to get married. Now married for 3 months, India is wondering if she has jumped from the pot into the hottest degree of fire to a man who appears to display absolutely no emotion or affection, with narcissistic and selfish desires to please only himself. Recognizing, as she recognizes this, that the man that she married, she only knew for a short span of time, who has obviously caused her to feel imminent threat, and not only imminent threat, but also feel danger in terms of his physical and mental abuse. She's hesitant to tell anyone that he has slapped her on a number of occasions and mentally abuses her. She confides in her best friend in anticipation that the two of them can come up with an exit strategy to get out of this ridiculous and miserable marriage without getting physically hurt. Now, here are some of the exit strategies that they came up with. And we're going to go through these again. A plan to leave her job, number two. Part of the exit strategy that her and her girlfriend came up with was a plan to remain calm without upsetting him, causing further threats or danger when she eventually tells him she's leaving. A plan to dissolve the marriage and move out of their apartment. A plan to inform law enforcement for added protection. Number five, a plan to establish a savings account. Number six, a plan to gradually inform select family members of what's going on. Number seven, a plan to have someone always checking in on her. Number eight, an actual date to make her move or transition. Number nine, a plan on where she intends to go and how she plans to transition. And finally, number 10, a plan for added security in the event the need arises. Now, of course, India is nervous about the situation because she realizes in today's times, people can camouflage and you can get easily upset in the moment of passion, which is what in fact happened to her. Now, the question that we started out with tonight, Ms. Cross, again, at this point, is it possible that India was so blinded by love and the excitement of getting marriage after just a 6-month proposal? Do you think that she ignored all the red flags, all the warning signs? Just briefly, what are your thoughts?
I think so. I think because I really just, based on experience, I think that if you're going to see something within the first few months of this relationship, if you spend enough time with this person, I believe that there will be situations that will give you a glimpse of who this person may be. I think that what happens is that when we get so tied into this person that we kind of overcompensate the person's amazing qualities, right, because everything started out so good for them, that we downplay these other qualities that raise these red flags, you know. I know that what happened, it sounds like with her, she was young when she got married initially, so that may have just been that, you know, she may have not been ready for that first marriage. But then I feel that every relationship that you're in should be a pretty much a process of learning. So what happens was she kind of married a mature version of her first husband, because I know the first husband was abusive as well. So I think what may have happened is she didn't want to believe that she may have been going into the same type of relationship just with a different man. But that's what ended up happening.
Okay, we're going to just ask you to stand by. And we know that oftentimes people end up gravitating to, you know, similar relationships without perhaps giving it time in between relationships to do an assessment. James, let's bring you in for a moment and ask you what your thoughts. Do you think that India here just moved so fast with a guy that she didn't know, or does it really take that long to get to know somebody, which I don't think you'll ever know anybody until you live with them?
I do agree with that. I think maybe her insecurity in herself and just wanting to be accepted. Sometimes people go a little too fast. I think that could have been like the case. And as far as her ignoring like the signs, sometimes when we meet people and things happen, we think, well, that was just one time, you know, that person did it on that once. We tend not to see it as like a pattern. We think, well, that was just once. Well, you know, he said this to me. It was only once. He said he was sorry. And just thinking that, oh, that was just once, and not seeing things as a pattern. Sometimes we can get sort of like distracted by that.
Right, right. Ms. Ross, let's talk about the issue. Let's take a look at some of her exit strategies here. But before I do that, James, let me just ask you quickly here. And if you all want to speak to the host or the co-host or speak to the issue, of course, press 1 on your dial. Tonight, we're talking about exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship. James, let me bring you in and ask you, do you think that her and her girlfriend, these strategies that they came up with, these are viable strategies, you think?
Yes, and I would do all of them.
Okay.
I wouldn't just go, let's do one and not two or three. No, do all of them. Be calm. Let somebody know. You always let somebody know. That's number one. Let somebody know what's going on. That is number one. That's just, you know, you got to tell somebody what's going on. You can be calm and you can start, you know, setting things up, especially if you have a financial banking account that's not tied to like the other person. Just start setting things up. And, you know, and also I think which one way is that you didn't bring up is if the person is available to just walk away from other than her clothes, if she can just walk away from all the stuff and just be gone. Because if you want to worry about taking, you know, taking some furniture or taking this, it's going to be a little bit harder. So if a person can just walk away with just their clothes, I think that should be added in there too.
All right. Well, James, we're going to actually stand by. We appreciate that thought. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go 770-866. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live. Who do we have with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Audrey B. Life Coach. How are you?
B. Life Coach. Thank you for joining us, Audrey B. Life Coach. It's nice
yes.
to have you. Yes. Go ahead.
No, I just think this is a great topic. It's so interesting because those of you who know me, I'm an author, and I'm actually working on a book that will have some of the same stuff in it. It's called Dying to Wake Up. But the other thing I was going to say, as far as from a social services standpoint, there are resources out there for women who are abused or battered, and they can go to safe houses. So that's also another strategy, is to talk with a counselor and get in touch with those resources in the community so that they can safely exit that relationship.
You know, and thank you for sharing that. And if you have any additional information, you might want to leave a number, you know, shout that number out to us at some point through the show. But let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. How safe is it? Because, I mean, you know, sometimes there's a crazy situation out there where people find you, even in these safe houses. For example, if you have a kid and it might not be, let's just give a scenario here where Henry and India, if India had a kid that attended a school, and Henry knew about where the child attends, then he goes in, he watches who picks this child up and follows. Now, so how would a safe house protect a woman like that, and, you know, in that instance?
That's a good point. And so there are things that they have to be smart about. I've dealt with friends who were in abusive relationships, and they got out of it, thank God. And one of the things, you can't let that person know your pattern. One of the things, she's dead now, unfortunately, but she didn't die from abuse. But one of the things I used to share with her is, don't tell them where my house is, so that you have a friend's house that you can go to that they don't know about. So they don't know where to go. And there's just a lot of things. But the one thing I want to say real quick, Dr. Walker, on a personal note, is that we should never let a man or a woman hit us. And right. I know I can speak for my second marriage, and I don't have a problem sharing it. You know, he raised his hand and hit me and hit me, and that ended our marriage. Because I always tell people if they can do it once, they can do it again. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly enough, we don't harbor ill feelings. Time passed, and we can speak, and we're cordial to each other. We're in different states. Of course, I will never go back to him. But don't tolerate abuse. And just like I think your co-host said, there are signs, and you see them very early on. You just need to pay attention.
All right. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. We're going to ask you to stand by, Audrey V, if you will. Let's go to Alabama, 205-908. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us?
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Jack, for joining us. Thanks for joining us. You know, Jack, give us your assessment of all of this here. Exit strategies, you know, anything that we may have mentioned in the exit strategy that India and her girlfriend came up with.
Well, I didn't get a chance to hear the story, but I heard some of the comments that were made. Under no circumstances should anyone be allowed to hit someone else. I mean, that's a no-no. That's an offense, and you can go to jail for that. We tell the children all the time, keep your hands, your feet, all objects to yourselves and all foolishness to yourselves. So no one should be allowed to physically abuse someone, mentally abuse someone, or verbally abuse anyone. And when it gets to that point, you state your case, and then you may give the person another chance, but once it's on them, the second one is on you. So the third time, then you're out of there. I mean, you don't keep giving people chances after chances, you know, I mean, a chance after chance. You let them know that I'm out of here. You just do what you have to do and you leave. Now, I would never allow my daughter to stay in an abusive situation. I would confront the person. I would confront the person and let them know that, you know, before you married my daughter, you know, you knew that she was a lady and you were a man. So you're not her dad. You're not going to physically abuse her. And I would tell my daughter, no, get out of that relationship because it's not good. And like Ms. Archie said, I mean, he did it once. He'll do it again.
Okay. I think that is so important. We're going to take a look at some of these exit strategies.
Dr. Walker.
Yeah.
Dr. Walker.
James, go ahead.
What do you say to, like, a woman who thinks the only reason why the man raised his hand is they put the blame on themselves? Well, he hit me. It was my fault. I caused him. So, you know, that was just me. If I hadn't have done that, then I wouldn't have got hit. And they actually blamed themselves, like, for that reason.
Well, I think that
because some women do that. I'm sorry.
That they're the blame that they got hit. I think that deals with a self-esteem issue, where they and depression. It deals with depression and self-esteem, because for someone to say, well, if I hadn't done X, then Y would not have happened. You know, that's a self-esteem issue, because no one deserves to be hit by someone and then think that they are the cause for that action to have taken place. Let's bring Ms. Cross in, and then Audrey V will bring you in before we go to the phone lines again. Ms. Cross, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. And the first thing I thought about is like a bird, if you clip their wings. And because the thing is, if you constantly – that. We have, as human beings, we develop what's called learned behavior. So we are very much, and I always, you know, it sounds crazy, but we have a lot of animalistic characteristics, right? So if you're in a situation to where someone constantly is belittling you or making you or telling you that it's your fault, you know, you start making this your reality. You actually start believe as crazy as it sounds, you actually start believing it to be. And a woman who will excuse a man for hitting them is a broken woman. It's a woman that has either experiences in life through someone, maybe a family member, maybe they grew up in that environment, or this man has done such a number on them that they really believe that they are the cause of being physically abused. And it sounds like with us seeing it, you're like, how could someone even think that someone else putting their hands on them can possibly be their fault? But the thing is, with our mind, our mind is a very delicate thing. And if someone can come in and manipulate your mind, it can really easily become your reality or become that person's reality.
Right. Well, that's a very good point. And Ms. Cross, unfortunately, your phone is fading in and out. We're getting, comments coming to the studio for some reason. We're still having that difficult process here. Let's go. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines once again, you all. Let's go to 786-489. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have with us?
Stevie.
Stevie, thank you for joining us, Stevie. Stevie, what are your thoughts on what we presented?
Look here, you all. I got a strategy that ain't even got to get that far.
Okay.
And I've done it, and it works. If you take a young lady either on a Dutch cruise, or say the female take her on a Dutch cruise, or even if she paid for a 5-day cruise or a 7-day cruise, see, you can't tread water that long. You have to get to know that person. You can't leave the ship. You can't tread that much water if you're in Jamaica or wherever you're at. You got to be there and deal with it. You can't leave. It's like it's being on the boat and you can't go nowhere. You got to come back to the same room. So you got to deal with that situation. And after that cruise is over, you will have a good situation that you will not want that person, or you are in love with that person and hope that they come together, that you got enough in common to have a good strategy, and so you won't need no exit, because you will know after that cruise where you stay.
I mean, throwing a person overboard.
Exactly.
I had an experience like that. It was over after the cruise.
That's it was
right.
Over after the cruise.
Couple like that. Yeah.
Wow, that is very exciting.
Was it 5 days? You can do a 3-day. It worked on a 3-day. But a 5-day would definitely tell you, nah, you ain't going nowhere, homeboy. It's over.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Wow,
that's
interesting.
Funny.
Stephen, thank you for sharing that with us. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines once again. And we've got a number of comments that we've got to get to you all. And we've only got about 25 more minutes before the show ends. Let me go with 305-769. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us? All right, we'll come back to 769. Audrey B., let's bring you in right now and give your comments on, this abusive thing that we talked about earlier.
Well, one of the main things I want to reiterate, it's already been said, is that the signs are usually very obvious. And I pay attention to what people say. I listen very intently. I can think of a time a gentleman who was interested, we weren't dating, but he was telling me some things, and he proceeded to tell me, well, this young man was mistreating my daughter, and I whipped up my .45 and walked up to his head. And, I'm like, didn't you see an in-between, a conversation? Where I'm going with that is it quickly showed me this is not a person I would want to look at having a relationship with, because they can't handle conflict. They believe in whipping out a gun. So things like that. That sometimes, as your co-host said, women think it's cute or is a sign of love, is really a sign of possessiveness or an inability to handle conflict. So just look for the signs.
Yeah, look for the signs. It's always in the signs. All right, we're going to ask you all to stand by just a second. Let's bring Jack back in. Jack, did you want to contribute to one of these extra strategies that we mentioned earlier? For example, go ahead. And one of them that we want to talk about tonight is, why is it so important to be calm when you're trying to exit, an unhealthy relationship? Go ahead, Jack.
That's a good point that you just brought out there. It is a beneficial. It's to your benefit to be as calm as possible. Because when you get in a rage, you kind of lose control. And then they hit you, you hit them back. And before you know it, somebody can get seriously injured. And then you wind up calling the cops. Somebody's going to jail or somebody's going to the hospital and all. So there are telltale signs, though. I mean, you can tell I mean, no one should be yelling, you know, at each other. I mean, sometimes we get heated, but why are we yelling? We can't be calm and talk things out rather than one think they're domineering and they're going to, if you don't listen to what I'm saying, then I'm going to hit you and all that. So, no, there's telltale signs out there that you should be aware of, and you should be able to tell right away whether this person is like that or not. So that's how I see it.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Let's go to the phone lines once again. 305-769. Are you there? It's a caller there. 305-769. All right. Then apparently they're not there.
No, I'm here.
Yeah. Can I say one other thing to that effect?
Can I say
one other
thing? Yeah.
There was a lady when I was growing up. There was a lady, I may have shared this before on your show. There was a lady that I think that James said it earlier, but there was a lady that she felt like it was her fault, you know, whenever her husband, you know, hit her. And she said she needed it because she did something wrong, and she didn't love him unless he disciplined her. So she felt like it was his duty to abuse her physically. She had to be accepted of that. And for the life of me, I couldn't understand as a child growing up. And even to this day, I couldn't understand why she felt like when she did something wrong, it was her fault, and she had to be abused by her husband. And she welcomed that. And you would see her with knots on her eye and, you know, bruises on her body and all that. So I thought it was crazy, and I still think it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Anytime anybody takes makes themselves feel that they are the cause of that, that borderlines with mental illness. Let's take some of these comments that have come in here. Let me go with Ms. Cross first. Ms. Cross, this the comment comes in from a male. He says, the only thing that I can think of in terms of exit strategies is to just leave the relationship and don't look back. As James said earlier, if you can just afford to leave your clothes, other than your clothes, and don't worry about the furniture, just walk away. Ms. Cross, why is that so important, you think? Just walk away.
The thing is, just walking away is easier said than done. I think you have to have a strategy. You have to have a plan in place. Because just walking away, like, where do you go? Where do you go to? What financial, what are you going to rely on financially? It can't just be. But even though I can't say that, because if you are able to, a lot of these domestic violence shelters are available out there, and they do have safe houses to where this person, you know, they have mapped it out to where this person will not be able to find you, you know. But I think that it's always good to have a plan, though. You know, if you have the ability to plan an exit strategy, I think that's the better way to go.
All right. We've got a number of comments coming in, you all, so we're going to, you know, respectfully ask if you all can confine your comments to 15 seconds or less. We really appreciate that. We do appreciate your comments. James, let's bring you back in. I believe you had something you wanted to say, and then they mentioned you in that comment, being able to walk away. And Ms. Cross, I do want to say this here before James comments, and that is sometimes that walking away immediately might save their life. Because if they get
my next thing.
Okay, go ahead, James.
I think that depends on what's going on.
Right.
If the person has their own account and they've let people know, and sometimes walking away, you know, they have a place to go. They have their own account. It's not so easy when there's, you know, both people on the same account. And blah, blah, you know, I understand that. But if it's, if the person is just going overboard, oh, absolutely, walking away. And the other thing that I wanted to ask is just putting out there, when you get into, like, a relationship, should you just sort of start an argument with the other person just to get an idea of how they're going to argue or just to see where their anger is, one, like the 10 on a scale?
That's a very good question. Let me just answer it quickly here, and then we got to move on because, you know, we're asking everybody to come find their comments in 15 seconds left. But I would say that's not a bad strategy. It's not. It's just like Stevie mentioned earlier about the crew situation. I think that that can be an ideal thing. But sometimes you want to test the person, test the waters, the literal waters, as Stevie said, and then you might want to just test that person's attitude. So, Audrey B., let's bring you in for that one there. What do you think, just quickly, before we go to the next comment?
You must have known I wanted to say something. I don't agree with group testing I think that's kind of childish. Just give it some time. Just like one of your, I think your co-host said, over time, you'll see there will be situations that will clearly show you who they are, and believe people when they show you who they are.
All right, I like that. Jake, you had a thought on that. You don't agree with that either.
Yeah, I agree with Audrey. I said the same thing. I don't agree with that. I mean, you're not testing the waters. That's why you have counseling sessions. That's why you're going to the counselor, and then you guys are putting everything out on the table during the counseling session. You'll be able to find a lot out when you go to those different counseling sessions and all.
All right, that's a good part about this show. We can agree to disagree and respect each other's opinions. We appreciate that, you all.
Absolutely.
Let's go to phone lines. Once again, before we go on to the next one, we're going to go to 305-213. Who do we have on the air with us?
Cedric,
thank you for joining us this evening. Cedric, did you have a comment or a thought on what we were talking about in terms of extra strategies?
Yes, I do. I think, in 15 seconds, that the exit strategy should be preempted by a entrance strategy. I think that we don't look at a relationship in the terms that a relationship is. That is, a relationship is a contractual agreement between two people to live peacefully together. So I was told by a psychologist that in preparing the relationship, the agreement, you have to write the divorce when you love each other so that you know what you would want for your loved one if things don't go right, if things don't go well, if things don't go as you expect, so that he who fails to plan is planning to fail. So the exit strategy should be built upon an entrance strategy, most assuredly, if a relationship is to really thrive. And I have proof of it. And my wife have been living together, married happily for 13 years.
How many years?
Thank you. 13 years.
Oh, 13. Okay, excellent. All right, we're certainly happy to hear that, and we'd love to have you all as our featured guest, and maybe you can divulge some of the things that have caused you all to be happy for 13 years. Would you all be open to doing that in a future show?
Sure. Yes.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Cedric. We got to take some more of these comments that have come into the studio. We only got about 15 minutes before we end. Let's go to Stevie. Stevie, this next comment. The male writes in, he says, I know the pain of being in an unhealthy relationship. I know it can get to you, but the way I see it is ask yourself the question, do I want to continue in this for another year? I think your answer will help you decide on whether to stay any longer in that unhealthy relationship or to leave. Stevie, what do you think about that? Ask yourself, do you want to stay another year?
Yeah, when he asks himself that, he really knows what he wants to do, you know, unless you're just playing the game. And that's where the problems come at. People want to play the game. He knows at that time what he wants to do, and if he's sincere, he'll make a good decision and either try to stay in it, work if she wants to, or exit and get out. And, you know, he'll choose to do that now. If he wants to exit, and she does not, I've seen situation where, I forgot to tell you, I got 3 kids.
Oh, yeah.
and that, she will leave and go, I got 3 kids, and my grandmama was keeping them.
Right.
I forgot to tell you.
Right,
that's
exactly.
An excellent exit. People do that, you know.
Okay. Let's bring James in for a comment. Let's go to the next one. Female writes in, she says, it's easier said than done to leave an unhealthy relationship. If it's abusive, I think you have to take cautious steps. every step of the way, which may include getting law enforcement involved, as India and her best friend did, to protect yourself, even though it's fearful. What are your thoughts on that, James?
I agree, but the walking away is for the extreme circumstances. So let me just say that, you know, that's not for everybody.
Right.
I know it's not easy just to, you know, go away. So that's just for the extreme. But, oh, absolutely. You know, like I said, number one, you got to tell somebody like what's going on. Number two,
right,
sit down with, you know, counselor, go to a shelter, talk to people, and, you know, plan it out. I think it's harder if the two people have a joint account because, you know, things are seen. You know, online banking, you know, people see everything now. So,
right.
Absolutely, absolutely, you know. So you got to have a plan. But walking
okay.
away is just, that's for the extreme circumstance, you know.
Right.
Just to save somebody's life, you know.
Right. Jack, let's bring you in. Thank you for that, James. Jack, let's bring you in for this next comment. You know, she says, sometimes the best way to exit an unhealthy relationship may include making the decision beforehand to not spend too much time in a relationship that may appear to be unhealthy. She says, don't spend a lot of time there. What are your thoughts on that, Jack?
No, yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, you should be able to find out whether this relationship is benefiting you, you know, sooner rather than later. I mean, as I mentioned earlier about those signs, there are many signs out there. It'll give you a red flag, you know, if he's, you know, stepping out on you, or he doesn't show any interest, or he's abusive. He could be verbally abusive. He could be mentally abusive. I mean, there are signs that let you know that, you know, you don't spend so much time in a relationship. But now, even though I'm saying that, you know, I've been in a relationship a long time, a very, very long time. And, you know, I have my ups and downs too. So sometimes I say, is it my best interest to leave, or is it my best interest to stay? And every time I think it's my best interest to leave, I always wind up staying. So you never know what you'll do in any given situation at all.
Okay, excellent. Ms. Cross, I want to bring you in. And Cedric, you can piggyback on this one because they mentioned you in this one. This male writes in, he says, I think you have to set the stage by setting parameters as Cedric did, as he talked about, when you first have an interest in going out with someone, and be cautious of telling them what you will not tolerate in relationships. How important is that? And then Cedric, we're going to ask you to piggyback off of that. Ms. Cross, let's bring you in. What are your thoughts? Set the stage, parameters.
I think it's very important. Because a lot of times you can't assume that someone will know how to treat you, right? Because what one person may tolerate, another person may not. So I think it is very important to, you know, just let this person that you're dating kind of understand what your expectations are, and, you know, and just kind of where you're wanting to go with the relationship, and not being afraid of, in a sense, you know, some people try not to come across, I guess, and disclose too much because they think that they may run this person off. But if this person is meant to be there, if this person is meant to be in your life, they're not going anywhere. So I think it's, you know, I always say you're supposed to learn from your previous relationships, to learn what you like, what you don't like, and present that option to the person that you're dating. You know, that has to be something about, you know, about communicating and being transparent and open with the person that you're dealing with.
Right. James, let's bring you in and let you piggyback off of that. They mentioned you in that one. What are your thoughts on that?
You talked to Cedric?
I'm sorry, not James, Cedric. Cedric.
Okay. Yes, parameters work with fully developmental adults. If you're 19 or 21, your brain is finished developing yet. You don't have the life experience to know what your parameters are. So to set them, you would have to know yourself so much so that you can tell someone else, this is who I am, this is what I am, this is what I will not be, and this is where I hope to go or I hope to be. So in all the cultures, older cultures, Eastern cultures, they required that the married couple move in with the elders because they, at 21 and 22, you just lack the wherewithal to make those calculated decisions about setting the parameters that are going to work, not, you know, parameters based on facades, things that we see in the movies or we read in novels, but real life, you know, practical parameters.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's bring Audrey V back in and ask this question. I mean, take this next comment. And this person says, it's been mentioned on the show tonight. You know, right? Since she says, it's been mentioned on the show tonight that there's never really an easy way to leave an unhealthy relationship. You just have to kind of like Nike says, just do it and don't look back. Well, Ms. Audrey B., you know that we realize that that's easier said than done. But how do you just ultimately, how do you ultimately make that decision and say, I'm going to leave this and go?
Well, once again, if somebody is abusing you, and like we've talked about, there are different ways, but particularly if they're physically abusing you, you need to get out. It's very serious. People get killed. And that's what I shared earlier on the show. You know, when it happened to me, I immediately called the police. They were arrested. And next thing you know, we proceeded to get a divorce. And the reason being, because they're showing you signs, and you don't need to live in fear. You know, so I definitely think that, particularly the physical abuse, you need to try to have a plan or an immediate way to get out.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So can I say something?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. One factor that we haven't mentioned is like the love factor. Some women just, they love that person so much, they don't want to call the police. They don't want to harm that person. They don't want any harm to come to that person. And I think that sort of plays a part in why women don't leave so fast. They just love this person, and they feel deep down he's a good person. And, well, I'm not going to call the police because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to lose his job. You know, that's the father of my kids.
Right. And,
so the love factor comes into play, like for some women.
May I say something real quick?
Yeah.
So when you think about the love factor,
I'll make it quick.
You're correct. The love factor does cause hesitation with some women, and then economics as well. But you also have to remember, you have to love yourself enough to protect yourself.
First and foremost. Let me go here now. Ms. Cross, we only got about 5 minutes before we start to end the show tonight. So I want you to address this one here. This one here is really interesting. Female, she says, whenever you do leave, try to leave under peaceful terms until you can truly feel safe. But always watch your back because you can't always trust people. Why is that so important, Ms. Cross?
Because if we look at statistics, and I don't really have the numbers, but usually women who are killed, it's usually after they leave the relationship or in the midst of them trying to leave the relationship. So she has a very valid point. You know, it's, you always have to have your guards up. And unfortunately, it's such an unfortunate situation, but you have to always be aware of your surroundings because there's so many different cases where these women, in an attempt to leave, or while they're leaving, you know, they go and meet their husband or their significant other for one last meeting. You know, he'll say, "Meet me in the parking lot." You know, so you're not thinking this person's agenda is to, in their mind, to try to win you back. And if they can't have you, no one else can. And there's so many different stories we can read about, so many different experiences to where these women end up losing their lives even after they made the choice to leave. You know, and I think with us having topics like this, it really does create an awakening that there is a problem. And it crosses every, you know, social, economical standpoint. You know, that doesn't matter. You know, it's so unfortunate because there's a lot of women that are living in fear, and we really just don't know. So these type of topics, these type of experiences, it allows us to let people know that it's not okay. You know,
okay.
You're in an abusive relationship. You have to get out.
Right. Your phone is really fading in and out. We apologize for that, you all. Let's take another look. Let's see here, one more comment. Jack, let's bring you in for this one here, and we'll let you and Stevie share this one here. This male writes in, he says, one of the things I realize is that you should not tell your friends about your plans because you don't always know which one of them you can really trust. Sometimes they may tell your ex just to get back at you. Jack, why shouldn't you tell your friends? I mean,
that's a good question. I mean, you should know who your friends are. That depends on who your friend is, who your friends are. You may have a friend that, you know, you tell them something, and then the next thing you know, it's all over America. So if you have that type of friend, then first of all, he's not really your friend. Because you can't come to him in confidence and share something with him because he's going to tell it to the world. So we should be mindful and very careful of who we select as our friends. Now, there are friends out there that sit closer than a brother that you can share something with and they won't breathe a word of it. So it depends on who you selected as your friend. And you always have to study over it and always have to pray about it. And one last thing I want to say about in any relationship, you should pray about it. I mean, it could be an abusive situation. It could be a non-abusive situation. But whatever the situation is that you have in front of you, you should always pray about it.
All right. Excellent. Stevie, let's bring you in. Why is that so important?
Well, I missed the question. Why is it important? Because of...
He's saying you shouldn't always tell your friends. Because might tell your ex just to get back at you.
Right.
You don't know who you can trust.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't tell anyone. It's very important. You keep stuff real and have it come to a situation where this is a real situation. You don't tell nobody because people can plan a plot against you.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's why I say go on a cruise.
Okay, go on a cruise. Oh, okay, Stevie, let's stay with that just for a second. You say go on a cruise. You just meet someone. Girl meets a guy in 2 weeks, right? They're talking on the phone. How soon should they go on this cruise?
Well, if you're talking about somebody in their 20s or 30s, you want to go probably on the Dutch if they're willing to pay the way. Or if they don't pay the way, each person pay the way. Because it's going to give you, because you're not living in the same quarter. So you want to, when you went on a cruise, you can be in your separate bed and get the role, what the situation is. But you cannot, you have to come back to the same place. You eat together. You go to activities together, comedy shows and stuff like that. And you're going to find out stuff. I'm telling you. You know, young, well, like 6 months, 9 months, you do that, you're going to find out stuff that, you find out stuff. When it's kind of too late, you done had the marriage, and you're in it 18 months, and you decide to get divorced. Because you can't hide too much. You're not that good. I ain't seen nobody that good to hide stuff in 5 or 7 days.
Okay. We got about 90 seconds. I'm going to ask each one of you all that we can get to quickly. For 15 seconds, we hate to cut you all off, but 15 seconds, just tell us, give us one extra strategy to get out of an unhealthy relationship. Cedric, let's begin with you. Cedric, one extra strategy. It may have been said already, and that's fine. All right, Cedric's not there. Let's go to Jack. Jack, there was one extra strategy.
I've already said it. You got to pray about it. Pray about it. That's it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's try Cedric one more time. Cedric, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, one extra strategy. One extra strategy.
One extra strategy. When you got your arm in the lion's mouth, you can't slap him. You have to pet him. So before you go charging out of a relationship to anger the person, possibly to drive them to a violent act, you have to find a way to soothe the savage beast.
Music, all right, we got it. Yeah. We got it. Thank you. Thank you, Cedric. Sorry we had to cut you off. We're just trying to get to everybody that we can. But we got it. All right, let's go to James. One extra strategy.
I still say leave. Because if your life is in that much danger and you feel that you're in harm, there is no better exercise strategy. Walk away. Leave
right.
your stuff. Go to somebody's house. Walk away.
All right, Audrey B., one extra strategy.
Contact your local women's shelter. They have counselors there who can work with you and advise you on the community resources.
All right. Do you have any numbers out there anywhere? If not, you can come back next week.
It varies according to place. You just look at your women's shelter. It's different in different places, but there is United Way is another number to call, and they can direct you to that shelter.
Excellent. Stevie, let's bring you in. Extra strategy.
Just, pray, walk away is one of the two extra strategies I see. Pray and just walk away.
Okay. All right. On that note, Ms. Cross, bring us home.
Okay. So I wanted to say that I agree with everything you all were saying. I definitely seek professional help. There is a hotline. It's a national hotline through the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Their number is 1-800-799-7233, where they can actually guide you and help you develop a plan on exiting. You know, no one deserves to be a victim. And just remember that the last time someone may hit you may very well be the last time. So it's nothing to take lightly.
Okay, excellent. And you also may want to go in, you all, and look at listen to the archive shows from part one. Ms. Cross gave a testimony on two accounts of friends that she knew about that were in abusive relationships, and unfortunately, it turned fatal. Listen, we're out of time. We're so glad that you all joined us tonight. We apologize if we may have had to cut one or two of you all off, but we are clearly out of time. Tonight's topic was exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship. Join us back here tomorrow for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's programming, join us back live next Thursday where we have a very important topic that you won't want to miss. Until next Friday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Your worth is priceless.
Good night.
Good night.